1390 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. President Biden says it's a non-starter, the possibility of the U.S. supporting a ceasefire for hostages deal between Israel and Hamas.
We should have a ceasefire. Not a ceasefire, we should have those hostages released, and then we can talk.
Hamas has released two more hostages, two older Israeli women. Another kind of war problem for maybe CNN's Dila Katera in Jerusalem.
We were talking to people from Gaza who were in Israel when the attacks first broke out, who now have no way of heading home. And so they've made their way over to the West Bank, and they're uncertain about their future. And one man telling us that nowhere is safe for Palestinians. He feels obviously Gaza is not safe for Palestinians. And now, because of these raids, he also feels that the West Bank isn't safe for Palestinians.
Republicans met behind closed doors trying to elect a new nominee to become the next Speaker of the House. Eight congressmen vying for the position after Pennsylvania Republican Dan Mooser dropped out. This is ABC News. There's an update from Detroit police on the murder of a local Jewish leader.
No evidence of anti-Semitism. That's how Detroit Police Chief James White is characterizing Saturday's brutal stabbing of Samantha Wall, a Jewish synagogue leader found outside her home.
We believe that this incident was not motivated by anti-Semitism and that this suspect acted alone.
The chief adding no other groups or individuals were involved and the community is not at risk, hoping to lessen fears the attack was the result of the ongoing Israel-Hamas war. So far, no arrests, though the chief says there are multiple persons of interest. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
A warning about sound machines meant to help young children get to sleep. ABC News medical contributor Dr. Darian Sutton urging parents be cautious.
The same Academy of Pediatrics recommends, for example, that nurseries have a volume maximum of around 50 decibels. That's a volume that you and I can speak at without raising our voice. Most of these machines go above that. So if you're going to use them, turn that volume down, place it away from the bed at least 7 feet, and make sure that you give limits.
This is ABC News.
Damage from a flood or fire, sewage backup, mold remediation, or biohazard crisis. In all of these situations, you need help. That's why Midwest Restoration is here for you. They are absolute experts at coming in and taking care of anything that needs to be done. For them, it's not just a job, it's personal. Dedicated to lending a hand during your time of need. Midwest Restoration, call 920-MIDWEST. That's 920-MIDWEST, 24/7, 365. Always there when you need them most.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
All right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over.
over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton cup, any cup game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Pilot's Palette. Get your pet portrait painted by Pilot's Palette. Find them on Facebook, Pilot's Palette.
Not to be confused with Robert Pilot, because that's Wendy Pilot, the painter, and I just have a heart of an artist. So if you want your dog or any animal painted, Wendy's the person to get them painted by, so check it out. Hey, we have a really special guest on tonight, Wendy, and we haven't seen Kevin in a long time, but wow, I look on his Facebook, and Kevin, you're doing a lot of things. And let me just get an intro here for you, Kevin. Kevin, you're deputy managing editor at Indian Country Today, and you do more than that. But thank you so much for coming on, and it's always great to see you.
It was all you as well, Robert. Thank you so much for having me tonight. And yeah, appreciate it.
Hey, tonight's a special night. Let's tell our audience about what's happening here. I'm looking on the internet page here, and it's looking really funny. It's awesome. Stories from the Stage.
Yeah, so this is a project that PBS World produced, and it's called Stories from the Stage. It's going to appear on PBS starting tonight. It's premiering tonight at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just find it on your local PBS station. And tonight will be the first 3 out of 6 stories that will be told that are from a Native viewpoint. And so all 6 of these storytellers that are featured are Native people. And the first 3 will be on tonight. I'm included in this first 3, along with Colleen Newholy, who's Oglala Lakota, and Valerie Killscrow Copeland, who's Oglala Lakota as well. And they'll be joining me tonight on this first episode of Stories from the Stage. The theme tonight is on sacred ground. And the 3 of us, are talking about different things that have happened to us, or we've experienced that relate to the earth, or, I talk about my efforts to stop a big housing development here in town that's threatening one of our sweat lodges in Lincoln, Nebraska. And Colleen Newholy talks about, healing, traditional healing through stories of her mother. Yeah. And Valerie Killscrow Copeland talks about, this is one of the fun ones, talking about experiencing and meeting Bigfoot. and it's, yeah, you know, it's a serious story, but she tells it with a lot of humor and a lot of levity. And it's just a beautiful mix of stories, I think, for tonight. And then, so tonight's those three stories. And then coming on November 13th will be the next round of three stories that will be featured. And the sort of theme there for the next round of stories is Sacred Circle. And so it features, you know, Native storytellers talking about, you know, their life, their struggles, you know, on the streets of Omaha, for example. There are storytellers that talk about losing people close to them and, you know, how they were able to heal from that. And so, yeah, really great group of people I got to spend a day with here in the studio at the Nebraska Public Media a few months ago. And so I'm really excited to see what the audiences think of these stories.
Wow, that's exciting, and congratulations. I think our stories are getting out there. You know, not only the movie that we'll talk about in a little bit, but I mean, we've had TV, Rutherford Falls, Reservation Dogs. We also had that movie, what was that movie with the alien, the prequel to, what the heck was that? Do you remember, Wendy?
Hear Nor Dog. What was that movie?
No, that's a different
that's
one.
That's a different one.
Way before.
I'm trying to think of the name.
But it was an alien movie, and it was a prequel, and it was Native Americans fighting this alien about a year and a half ago, and that was. But I guess my point too is just that we're getting a lot of traction, Kevin, and that's exciting to see. And you can tell these stories and still be serious and still have the Native humor in there. And that's where we're from. And that's exciting to see.
Really is. Yeah. We're really kind of blowing up, I think, in a lot of ways. And, you know, it's long time coming. You know, we've earned the right to finally tell our stories from our perspective through our storytellers, you know. And that's one of the most powerful things about all of this is that, you know, it's not just Native actors and actresses that are appearing little side roles here and there, but, you know, we have Native producers and Native writers, script writers, and on all levels, you know, we're taking control of the narrative. And I think that's so incredibly powerful and empowering to our communities to see that happening. And the sky's the limit. You know, some people have said that, you know, we're at the peak of Native representation in popular media, but, you know, I don't think we're at that peak. I think, you know, I think we have a lot further to go. I think more and more people are going to want to hear our stories because our stories are so important and so powerful, so moving. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully it's a renaissance that we can maintain. The quality's been awesome. I mean, now Reservation Dogs is talking about doing a movie. I don't know if you saw that, but that would be excellent. And I'd be one of the 700 or 7,000 people in line trying to get in on that. But that was crazy. If you remember when they were down there in Oklahoma with a call, there was a lot of people that wanted to get in on that. So when we get, let's get talk a little bit about you before we get into our next subject too, and then I want to talk about that. But talk about your job, your job, and we get. I know a lot of over the years we've gotten a lot of information from your Facebook page to bring up to our listeners. So, Kevin, if you don't mind, talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for asking. So up until this past July, I worked for Indians.com, another Native American news website. I was the managing editor there. And but I decided to make a move, and I joined ICT News back in July. And, you know, doing a lot of what similar things that I did for Indians.com, you know, ICT News employs a lot more reporters than Indians. So it's, you know, much larger organization. So it's, I don't know. I mean, for me, it was a chance to finally share some of the lessons that I was imparted by some really incredible journalists over the years. I spent 18 years at the Lincoln Journal Star here in Lincoln, Nebraska as a reporter and an editor, and you know, 5 years at Indians.com before coming to ICT News, Any Country Today. And, you know, I like writing stories. I love writing stories. I love telling stories myself. But we need to empower our next generation of storytellers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of the role that I want to spend, you know, the next leg of my career on, is just doing what I can to train young reporters, teach them how to write, teach them how to report, and, you know, train that next generation of storytellers so that we can continue this train rolling. So.
Yeah, congratulations, and that's a big deal, and that's what we try to do here. And as a former teacher, I've been trying to do that over the years, and it's the mentorship, and it's the next generation, and of course, we talk about the seven generations, and how important that is now. And we have traction, and we have things going on that our young ones are working on language more than past generations, and working back into community, and there's so many good things going on, and so I really, really applaud you. I want to take a quick break, Kevin, if you don't mind, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what's coming up on PBS tonight, but also we're going to talk a little bit about that movie that just came out.
Awesome. Thank you.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex. Recording sexual acts without permission. Hurting someone because of their sexual orientation. Raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger. Purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Back to school season is here. And while this is an exciting time for parents, kids, and educators, let's not forget how far we've come in our battle against COVID-19. We're in a better place, but COVID-19 is still here, and we need to continue to help protect our communities. With the flurry of new schedules and classrooms, let's not overlook the fundamentals of staying safe. Wash your hands regularly and watch for any symptoms like fever, chills, a cough, or shortness of breath. Should you or someone you know have COVID-19 symptoms, stay home and get tested. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. Let's have this back-to-school season be a time of renewed commitment to our collective health and brighter future for our Native communities. Again, find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
When a drunk driver hit my car, the structural integrity and safety features of my Toyota Sienna saved my life. I will always own one. That's it. That's the ad. I don't think I need to add anything else, but I'll gladly mention their sales team is attentive and friendly, their service department is the best in the state, and their vehicles, you can put a lot of faith in the quality and safety of a Toyota vehicle. The structural integrity and safety features of my Toyota Sienna saved my life. I will always own one. That says it all. Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Right on, Kevin. Thanks a lot. Hey, we're here with Kevin Abarask, and he's deputy manager editor at Indian Country Today. And tonight we're talking today about what's happening tonight, and excited to see more Native people on TV and representing. Again, tonight is the Stories from the Stage, and Kevin's going to be involved in that. And it's exciting, Kevin, too. My eyes really perked up when I saw about the Sasquatch or Bigfoot. That was a good one.
Yeah, no, I think audiences will really enjoy that one. I know I did. So can't wait to watch it again.
So how did you get involved with that?
They had tryouts. They had they put out the call for story ideas, and so I submitted my story idea, and luckily was chosen among the other five storytellers who were chosen. So.
Wow, that's excellent. Well, let's jump into this, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about the special on tonight. At what time?
It's 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
So us people here are central.
That's earlier here.
that's an hour earlier here in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and wherever else we're being beamed from. But your thoughts about Killers of the Flower Moon. Wendy and I got to see that, the opening, and then we didn't realize there was a pre-opening, so we missed out. We had FOMO. People were watching it the day before the opening.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was an amazing film. I just thought that... just beautifully shot, incredible performances. I definitely think Lily Gladstone should be in the running for an Oscar. I think, I liked Leonardo DiCaprio's performance. I know he's got mixed reviews from it, but I thought he did a pretty good job. And Robert De Niro, of course, is Robert De Niro. But, but it was just an incredible tale, you know. It's something I did read the book. By the same name, so I knew the history, but I don't think very, very few people knew that history before they would see this film. And so that's great, you know, that it opened a lot of eyes, hopefully will open a lot of eyes, continue to open eyes, and people will continue to learn about this incredible story, horrible, horrific story, of murder among the Osage people.
I read that originally Leonardo was going to be the sheriff and the whole movie was going to be based on the FBI's experience. And then during shooting, George Floyd happened. People were found out about the Black Wall Street, and it really, really affected them. And he changed parts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Martin Scorsese decided that, it wasn't as engaging a story to focus on the FBI agent. And I'd like to think that he also saw that, this white savior trope that, having this FBI agent come in and kind of save the Osage people didn't work either. But I know for sure that he's told various news outlets that that it was a more engaging story focusing on Ernest and Molly Burkhart. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I call it a love story because it was very, anyway, I won't get too much into that, but, they thought it was just a better story and they went with it.
Wendy, the performances were amazing. Like Kevin said.
Yeah, they were. They were unbelievable. And I hope that I was just looking up. There was only one other Native American actor who got an Oscar, and that was back in 1982.
Oh, really?
And if I could bring it up again.
That's amazing because we have, I don't know if you know this, Kevin, but in the Twin Cities, we have Will Studi here doing a play at the Orpheum, and it's been exciting, and it's great to see the old schoolers out there still working it, and he has an Academy Award, too, but it was for his work over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's so great. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it was amazing to me. I don't know, the filters in the camera, kind of the yellowish tint to the whole thing. I don't know if I'm sure that was done on purpose, but it reminded me kind of, definitely it was as a timepiece, kind of a Godfather-ish kind of look to it with the filters and the lights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love that whole ambiance that it created. Really put you in that setting, 1920s Oklahoma. And it's just an incredible sort of depiction of this Oklahoma community that where these murders happened. And I was struck by how well it depicted this cottage industry that I would say that was built up around this Osage wealth. All of these sort of white businesses that were created and really, really exploited that wealth. There was this one scene where an Osage man was being buried and, they were going to charge him, his family, $2,000 to bury him, whereas they were going to charge other white families $200 for the same cost of burial. And every level of that community was built around exploiting Osage wealth.
You know, reading the book, it really makes me sad too, because this is based on a true story that Molly didn't live long after that, maybe another 10, 12 years, and went through all that. She believed her husband for a long period of time.
You don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, sorry, Wendy.
There might be a spoiler alert, so.
Well, let me change subjects then. They took second place. They grossed $23 million, which is a good start for a period piece like that, and with the heavy hitters and a 3.5-hour movie that really didn't seem like 3.5 hours to me.
No, not at all. I have friends who don't want to see it because it's 3.5 hours, but you have to. I mean, it's not going to be the same watching it on Apple TV or wherever it's going to show up next. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wendy and I talked about the next day, and it's always a good barometer. Wendy said that she would watch it again, and that's a commitment.
And it kind of stuck with me the next day. Like, I thought about Molly. I thought about the characters. I thought about the Osage people. Like, I was thinking about them the next day after I watched the movie. So that's always a good barometer that a movie